It's a pleasure to be with you today on Know Your Bible, and we do appreciate your tuning in to watch today. Today I want to talk to you about a very unusual topic, possessing our possessions. Possessing our possessions. I hope you'll stay tuned as we talk about some of the things that can be ours today that we may not be possessing. But before that, I'd like to mention the free Bible correspondence course that we're offering on Know Your Bible. We've been doing this a good long while and on our telecast, and we'd like to make it available to you today. And it may be that you've been intending to call to receive the course, but you've just not done. Let this be the day that you call. Please don't hesitate and don't wait. But call today for the free Bible correspondence course. Well, you say, well, I'd like to know more about it before I call. Well, then so that you can learn more about the course itself and learn how to receive the Bible correspondence course, we'd like to pause for just a moment. I'd like to give you a very personal invitation to attend the Church of Christ in your community. You'll find a people who love the Lord, who will be interested in you, who are doing everything that they can to be pleasing to God. And so let me personally encourage you to visit the Church of Christ in your community at your earliest convenience. Now, I want to read a couple of verses to you. First one is found in 1 Kings, the 22nd chapter, and verse number 3. And the king of Israel said unto his servants, Know ye that Ramoth in Gilead is ours, and we be still, and take it not out of the hand of the king of Syria. Now the second verse is found in the book of Obadiah, verse 17. But upon Mount Zion shall be deliverance, and there shall be holiness, and the house of Jacob shall possess their possessions. The first verse I read suggests that there was a possession that they could have had, that is, Ramoth in Gilead could have been theirs, and they were not taking that possession. And the second passage that I read from the book of Obadiah suggests that the house of Jacob would possess their possessions. I think all of us have our Ramoth in Gileads, that is, things that could be ours, and we be still, that is, we're not active and we don't get those things. But what we really need to do in life is to possess our possessions. And for example, there are the blessings that can be ours that come only through prayer. James 4 and 2 says, You have not because you ask not. I want you to let that sink in for just a moment. You have not because you ask not. The more I study the Bible, the more I am persuaded that there are blessings and favors that can be ours that we will not receive unless we ask for them. Let me mention some of those blessings and favors. First of all, there is help in time of trouble in our lives. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 16 said, Let us come boldly before the throne of grace. And we come boldly before that throne of grace for a purpose. And that is to ask for help and to ask for God to be with us in time of great need in our lives. Have you ever been a time when you needed help? Well, we can go to God and ask for that help. That's one of the blessings that can be ours. Another blessing that comes through the avenue of prayer is peace of mind. I rather suspect that I'm speaking to someone right now who may not have peace of mind. You're troubled in your heart. You're troubled in your mind. And there may be many reasons that you're troubled. But it is through asking God through the avenue of prayer for help that we can have that peace of mind. Listen to Paul in Philippians, the 4th chapter, verses 6 and 7. Be careful for nothing. That literally means don't worry about anything. But in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God that passes all understanding shall keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. So don't worry about anything, but pray about everything. And the blessing that we receive as a result of that is the peace that passes all understanding. Let me mention yet another blessing that comes through the avenue of prayer, and that's the forgiveness of our sins. As God's people, when we sin, we can ask God to forgive us our sins. And James 5:16 says, confess your faults one to another, and pray ye one for another that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. So there are blessings and favors that God will bestow upon us only if we ask. You have not if you ask not. Why, God is willing to give us good things. In Matthew 7:7, Jesus said, ask and ye shall receive. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be open unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and he that knocketh unto him shall it be open. And then Jesus said, what man of you, if his son ask of him of a bread, would he give him a stone? If he asked for a fish, would he give him a serpent? And then Jesus went on to say, if ye being evil give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father in heaven give good things unto them that do what? That ask him. Yes, indeed. We need to possess our possessions. There are the blessings that come through prayer. And there are more things wrought by prayer, the poet said, than the world dreams of. What power, what benefit there is in prayer. 1 John 5:14 says, this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will. Now there is the condition. We can't ask God to do something that would be completely, totally contrary to His will. But if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. Matthew 21:22. Whatsoever ye shall ask in prayer, believing. There's another condition. We need to have some faith in our prayers. You shall receive. Friends, I've just seen too many answers to prayers prayed not to believe in the power of prayer. I know it works. I've seen it work. And God Almighty says it works. They're the blessings that come through prayer. Well, what another of those possessions that we need to possess is the knowledge that comes through study. I've had people ask me, Brother Lambert, how did you learn what you know about the Bible? Well, I wanted to be a little bit facetious and say, well, I put my Bible under my pillow at night, and in the morning I have it in my head, but it doesn't come that way. The only way that we can have a knowledge of the Bible is through studying it. You just have to study it to know your Bible. In Acts chapter 17 and verse 11, we read about nobility, real nobility. These were more noble than those of Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the Scriptures daily, whether those things were so. Have you ever done that? I hope that you'll do that. I want you to search the Scriptures to see if what I tell you on Know Your Bible is true. I don't want to teach you something that the Bible doesn't teach, because I could imperil my own soul by teaching something the Bible does not say. So we need to search the Bible, search the Scriptures to see if we're being taught truth. But we grow as we search the Bible. 1 Peter 2:2 says, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the Word that you may grow thereby. I heard about a fellow who was not able to read, and so someone taught him how to read by using the Bible. And so they saw his wife sometime after that, said, how's your husband coming along with his reading? Meaning, reading the Bible. Oh, said, he's doing great. Said, he's out of the Bible now, into the newspaper. I fear that many people have ceased to read the Bible. And we're into all other kinds of things other than the Bible. we need to study today, because a study of the Bible is an imperative for us. 2 Timothy 2:15 reads, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." I read the story many years ago about a man who was in an explosion. And as a result of this explosion, his hands were seared. He had no feeling in his hands. And he was blinded. And so he learned to read Braille with his tongue. Can you imagine that? And it is said that he learned to read the Bible in Braille with his tongue, and that he would read it and read it and read it until his tongue would begin to bleed. Here's a man who possessed his possession. Yes, there's the knowledge that comes through study. But then there's the salvation that comes through obedience. We need salvation. And our salvation is through Christ. But we must be obedient to Him. Hebrews 5, verse 8 and 9 tells us this. "Though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered, and became the author of eternal salvation unto all of them that obey Him." We have to obey the Lord to be saved. You see, there is no salvation unless we're willing to obey Jesus. We need to have the attitude of Samuel in 1 Samuel 3 and 9. "Speak, Lord, thy servant heareth. Whatever you tell me to do, Jesus, is what I want to do." And Jesus said, "If you love me, keep my commandments." John chapter 14 and verse 15. Also in Matthew 7 and 21, Jesus said, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven." Yes, indeed, there's a salvation that comes through obedience. And I would urge you, with all of the love of my heart, to obey Jesus today. You believe in Him? You say, "Well, Brother Lambert, of course I believe in Jesus." Are you willing to turn away from the sin in your life? That is, repent. You say, "Of course I'm willing to repent," because the Bible says that it's repent or perish in Luke 13, 3. And so as a penitent believer, are you willing to be baptized into Jesus Christ? Because Jesus said, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." Would you be willing to do that today and obey Him? Yes, indeed, there's a salvation that comes through obedience. But let me mention yet another of our unpossessed possessions, but something that can be ours. Ours, that is the happiness that comes through service. There are a lot of unhappy people in our world. That's the reason there's so many bars and lounges, because there are a lot of unhappy people. That's the reason there's so many broken homes in America. There's so many unhappy people. That's the reason there's so many drug addicts in this country. There's so many unhappy people. And that's the reason some people act the way they do and talk the way they do. Because deep down inside, they're not really happy. I wonder right now, as I speak from my heart to your heart, are you really happy? Are you really happy? In Philippians 4, and in the fourth verse of that chapter, the apostle wrote, "Rejoice in the Lord always." And again I say rejoice. Rejoicing is to be found in the Lord. That's the realm, that's the sphere where we can find real happiness. What would it really take to make you happy today? Well, you say, "If I could just have the mortgage paid on my house, I'd be happy." Would you? You say, if I could just get my new car paid off, Brother Lambert, I'd be so happy if I could just get my new car paid off. Would you? You say, well, if I could just get my children through school and get them off to college and get them through college where they could be out on their own, I'd really be happy then. Would you? Well, you say that I'll really be happy when I can get to that point in my life that I can retire and I don't have to punch a clock every day. I don't have to answer to anyone every day. And I can do just like I want to do. You think you'll really be happy then? I want you to know that real happiness doesn't come from the external things of life. It doesn't come from the kind of car we drive, the house we live in, the clothes we wear, the food that we eat, the college education that we have or don't have. It doesn't come from these externals. Because happiness has to do with your heart. Happiness is an inside job. Happiness is not attached to anything in this life. And that's the reason happiness cannot be found by so many people. They're trying to find it in things they can possess, like a car or house or a bank account or an education. But it has to come from an attitude of heart. And until we get to that point in our lives that we're willing to pour ourselves out to serve other people, to help other people, we will never really find peace and happiness in this life. It's not going to be found. And I would urge you to develop an attitude like Jesus. In the second chapter of Philippians, we're told that Jesus emptied Himself. How? In the form of a servant. Jesus did not come into this world to be waited on hand and foot. You know, a lot of people, when they begin to look for a place to go to church, you know what they ask the preacher? Well, what can you do for me? I had one preacher to tell me, a lady called him, and she had a list of questions, and every question that she would ask him had to do with, what can you do for me? What can you do for me? He said, I have one more question you can add to your list when you begin to call another church, because I know you, when I tell you this, you're not going to come here. He said, why don't you ask, now what can I do for you? You see, until we get to that point in our lives that we realize we are to serve other people, we are to help other people, we're not going to have that peace that passes understanding. We're not really going to be happy. Queen was being coronated on one occasion, and she was carried out onto the balcony, and there before her were all of the subjects who came out for this grand occasion. And she remarked to someone standing next to her, are all of those people here for me? And they said, no, you're here for all these people. And we are here to serve mankind. That's what Jesus did. Acts 10:38 tells us He went about doing good. That's what we need to do. Go about doing good for others. So there's the happiness that comes through service. Then there's the world that comes through evangelism. Jesus gave the marching order when He said, go into all of the world and preach the gospel to every creature. I fear that in churches of Christ, we've not done that like we should. Oh, there was a time we were marching for the Master, but are we really marching as we should today? Maybe we failed in some regards because we're not really convinced people will be lost without Jesus. Or maybe we're not convinced that we could be lost if we're not a soul-saving, evangelistically-minded people. The world comes through sharing the message of Jesus with other people. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. But then finally, there is the peace that comes through commitment. Do you have peace? To have peace, you're going to have to make a commitment. I want you to listen to the great Apostle Paul as he writes to his son in the faith, Timothy, in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12. For the which cause also I suffer these things, nevertheless I'm not ashamed. For I know in whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Paul had committed his all to Jesus. And he had a peace and a tranquility in his heart that others likely could not understand. Now, there's some watching right now that understand that because they've made that commitment. And because of that commitment, they have that peace. But there can be no commitment until there is conversion. And you must be converted to the Lord Jesus Christ. Repent and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, Acts 3:19. And to convert means to change. There must be a change of our intellect from unbelief to belief. And that comes as a result of our exposure to the Word of God. Romans 10:17. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So there's that change of our intellect. Now we become believers because we study the Bible and we believe the Bible. That there is to be a change in our life or our lifestyle that is produced by repentance. When you stop and think about how good the Lord has been to you, it make you want to repent. Know ye not the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance, Romans 2:4. And when we repent of our sins, it may mean that there are certain things I have to change about my life. I have to give up. It may be my speech. It may be the way I dress. It may be some of the habits that I have, some of the friends that I have. And then third, there's to be a change in state. From being outside the Lord Jesus Christ to be in Jesus Christ. And that's produced by baptism. Galatians 3:27. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ did put on Christ. So in order to be converted to Jesus, you believe, you repent, and you're baptized. And then we live a committed life to the Lord Jesus Christ. We're not to be committed to the preacher. We're to be committed to Jesus. Listen to Paul in Philippians 1:21. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Paul's life centered around and revolved around the Lord Jesus Christ. There is that peace that comes through being committed to Christ. And when we are committed, that means that He's number one in our lives. He's first in our lives. That we seek His kingdom first, Matthew 6:33. That means that we will not allow anyone or anything to come between us and the Lord, Luke 14:33. Whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath cannot be my disciple. And when Jesus Christ is first in my life, that means that I'm going to give him the very best that I can possibly give. Paul used some language like that in Romans 1:15 where he talked about, for as much as in me is, I'm ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. But when Jesus Christ means this much to me, when I'm really committed to Jesus Christ, I'm going to give Him as much as in me is. And furthermore, this means that He's my Lord. He is the Lord of my life. And He is Lord. He's Lord over all. He's Lord of the universe. He's Lord over everything. Romans 14, verses 7 through 11 tell us that He's Lord of the living and the dead. And I'll tell you quite frankly, He's Lord whether you believe it or not. He's Lord whether you acknowledge it or not. He's Lord whether you confess Him or not. He's Lord whether you want Him to be or not. Jesus Christ is Lord. And when I'm committed to Him, I volunteer to follow Jesus and do what Jesus would have me to do. And my attitude is, Lord, You just tell me what to do through Your Word, and I'm going to do it to the best of my ability. Oh, do we fall short sometimes? Absolutely. But we need to be found trying to serve Jesus with all of our heart, with all of our soul, and we'll have that peace that comes through commitment. May I challenge you today to possess your possessions? These things can be ours. Let's not be still like they were in 1 Kings 22 and fail to have that which could have been theirs. Possess your possessions. I'd encourage you again to visit the Church of Christ in your community. Please do that at your earliest convenience. And again, call for the free Bible correspondence course. And until we meet again, may the Lord bless you. May the Lord keep you is my prayer.